Hello everyone, my name is Jay Nemro. You're listening to Quasi Indefatigable Zenilith. I am glad to be here with you. And I know most of you people are cowed. Most of you people are institutionalized. I think back now to a book that I read by Douglas Adams. Douglas Adams was a wild man. He was crazy. I like him. I'm not sure if I would do all the things that he did, because I'm sure he was involved in drugs and some things that were really, that I would consider just evil. I don't know. I never knew Douglas Adams. Anyway, he wrote some books. The first one that was really popular was A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, or The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. The fourth book in his trilogy, there was actually five in the trilogy, and they kept calling it a trilogy, even though that wasn't what it was. He just liked playing around and doing things like that. It was called So Long and Thanks for All the Fish. And in that book, we were introduced to a person that was called Wonko the Sane. And I like Wonko the Sane. He was a scientist, but he was kind of out there. A lot of other scientists liked him personally, but he was nuts. I mean, he was crazy. He had this house that was built inside out. It's really hard to do it the way that Douglas Adams described it, but, you know, but Douglas Adams was excellent. He was a good writer. And I liked his philosophy because he was really able to see and describe absurdity, you know? A lot of people call it Star Trek thinking. We all think of the future as something that looks like Star Trek, you know? Everything's going to be better. So one day we're not going to have money because everybody will have exactly what they want, you know? We'll all go out in these super hyped up ships and we're going to go off and do humanitarian work everywhere, and that's probably not true. That brings up another book by Scott Adams, the guy who does the Dilbert comics. I've always enjoyed him too, and he was the person that came up with that whole rules of I don't know what he says, but one of the real truths of reality is that the future is not going to be like Star Trek. Because it's a fantasy. People don't behave like that. There's too much evil in the world, and people aren't going to give up on evil. It's too much fun. There's too much money to be made off of being evil. Anyway. Wonko the Sane had a place, had a house that was kind of inside out. He used to look out over the ocean, because it was pretty. He liked that. And his house was built so that everybody was inside the inside of his house, sort of. And he called it the asylum. And I think that's really true. Not that people are crazy, but you know what? All of us, without exception, some more than others, are institutionalized. We are part of an institution. And usually when we say institutionalized, if you're not being very kind, or if you're saying what we used to call an institution, like an insane asylum, and that's what Douglas Adams used that term, the asylum. I think I'm going to use it too. You know, the whole cow motif is kind of starting to age on me. I don't want to call you people cows. You guys are in the asylum. Are you prepared to come out? And it's not really a physical place. I guess it could be. There's certainly physical manifestations of it, such as schools or big corporations or the government. And you can come out of those kinds of places, and you can be free. You can I don't know, find yourself out of the asylum after a while. Anyway. Whoa. That took 5 minutes for that whole little diatribe. Did I ever actually say that this was quasi-indefatigable Zenolith and I'm Jay Nemro? In case I didn't, here it is again. To a certain degree, you have to abide by what the institution tells you. You know, you have to have your foot in the asylum, or else they're going to find ways to destroy you. I've on occasion looked for ways to totally get out of it altogether. I've looked at islands that are very remote and where people don't live. But you know what? The institutions have found a way to get there. The biggest way to get you in those circumstances is government. There is not a piece of land on this earth that doesn't have some form of government controlling it, telling you what you can and can't do there. I would love to find a place where that wasn't true. I am reserving, I guess I'm just going to have to reserve myself for the day when I become a god, which is definitely a part of my religious thought culture, and where I can say, you know what? I can do what I wish. I mean, I'm not crazy enough to do something stupid. That's the whole point. We don't do things stupidly. There are laws of nature, or at least there are concepts of laws of nature, that trying to fight that is just stupid. I referred to that before. It's called fighting nature. We do it all the time. Look at the way our homes are built. Our homes make no sense whatsoever. And with just a little bit of changes, we could make our homes so much more efficient. We wouldn't need so much electricity. We wouldn't need so much gas. We wouldn't need to heat it and cool it quite so much and by artificial means. And we probably wouldn't need as many lights as we have, because our houses would just be more airy, more light. It would take in more solar energy better. We would be able to do all these things. But you know what? We don't do that. Why? Because it's kind of an institutional thing. It's much more interesting to have our houses look like they came out of the 18th century, before people really gave these things any thought at all. Back when energy was so cheap, it didn't even matter, you know. It's kind of like America is sucked into an Eastern United States colonial attitude. The houses everybody wants look like they came off of the Eastern seaboard. You know, you didn't worry about solar over there because it rained all the time, so most of our roofs are peaked. Really steep peaked, like we're going to have a huge snowstorm out in the middle here in nowhere, where it hardly ever snows. Our biggest concern is to have houses that made a whole lot more sense 3,000 miles away, but we all want that look. And our houses all basically kind of look the same. They're all designed the same. That works really good for those who build them. They can build them fast and cheap, and we all have ways of making all the materials so that it all works just better according to this way. There's people that's all they know how to build. I know how to build this kind of a roof, and this is the kind of roof I build. And that's okay, because almost everybody wants that kind of a roof. And it's because we're in the asylum. We're cows. We follow along behind everybody else. We see the house that other people have, and we want the same kind of house. Whether it's smaller or bigger, you know, we might want to make differences that are just kind of cosmetic. My house is red and yours is blue. You know, yada, 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 yada. I've never been that kind of a person. I've always been a little more thoughtful in saying, I want to do this, this, and this. And I have to make an apology, and I will put up the MP3 file where I actually kind of look like I'm kind of harassing my wife. And I will put it up, only because now I'm going to apologize for it. Because you have to understand what's really important to you. You know, I really do want to be the kind of guy that lives smartly, that lives, you know, when I say in harmony with nature, people think I'm a tree hugger and stuff like that. I'm not. I'm just saying that I'm not going to fight nature. I'm not going to build my house stupidly and then pay a ton of money in order to heat and cool it when nature could heat and cool it much better if somebody would have just given it a little bit of thought and a little bit of planning. It doesn't even cost a lot. You know, people say, oh, you don't want to do that solar stuff. That costs a ton. You go, no, it depends on how you do it. And I've done lots and lots of research. God, I probably put the bulk of my free time into things like that. And it's wonderful. I enjoy it. I wish I could finally get to the point to where I did some of it. But, and, you know, people can say, oh, well, Jay's really upset, angry at his wife because she doesn't let him do those kind of things. Hang on. Well, I just erased the whole thing. Well, that's just the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. Oh, screw it. Well, maybe not. Well, it still counts, though. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to stop just for the simple reason I got a phone call. Work's starting to press in. I'm nearly to my destination. And it was going so well, though. I was going to talk about circumstances and the choices that we make. And I'm always most important. Well, I'm going to go ahead and talk about you know, the priorities in your life. To have an efficient house that does all these things isn't as important as making my wife happy. And sometimes you get frustrated. You hate having to make trade-offs. But everybody has to. Because you have to figure out what's most important in your life. And the most important thing in my life is making my wife happy. So do I live in a conventional home? Yes. Very expensive? Yes. You know, heating the thing is horrible. My wife says, well, we need to get new windows for it. And you go, well, no, that's not the least thing they do. That's what everybody else does. We need a whole different house. A house that has all this stuff and just works. Instead of trying to insulate my house to the point to where it's a little bit more efficient. Still costs a ton, but it costs a little bit less. And that really frustrates me. There's some things I wish I could do, but my life is so married to making my wife happy that it's that. I'm not frustrated because my wife makes me unhappy. Let me say that first off. I get upset because of the compromises I have to make her happy. I wish she could be happy with some of the things I've come up with, but you have to understand that my wife is much more normal than I am. She's much more institutionalized than I am. And so she's scared to death, and that's one of the bad things about institutions is it makes you scared to death to walk away from the institution. Most people don't do things that are logical and make some sense because they just don't see everybody else doing it. And until everybody else does it, they ain't going to do it. They have no interest in being able to make that happen. So I kind of vacillate, you know. Someday, what I'd like to do, you know, I'd love God to tend to make me a lot of money. I'd like to get well off enough that while my wife stays in this house that we have now, it's really conventional and frankly, it's just horrible, horrible, horrible house. Just from my own standpoint, not from hers. That she can continue living in that house while I work on the next one. And that I'll have enough money and enough time to just do it. She always says, well, you never do it. You always talk about it, you never do it. And you go, well, number one, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of thought, and I can't just hire somebody else to do it. I don't have the money to do both things, to both live in this house and to get the land and build another one. I still want to ultimately do that. And the whole point of trying to make this next house so that my wife can tolerate it. My wife is absolutely a slave to electricity. You know? Most people are. I'm not gonna say that she's an evil and a wicked person for that. She's incredibly normal. Of course, being incredibly normal has got its downside for me. But, she is absolute slave to electricity. If there wasn't electricity in her home, she would probably, like most people, be suicidal. You know, it's too dark, I can't do this, I can't do that, you know. I want to just be able to flip a switch and the lights are on, everything's good. You know, and it's just a part of the fact that we're all just so absolutely institutionalized. You know, nothing works except exactly, you know, we can't possibly be happy unless we have all the perks of the institution. And we're married to it. We're married to it more than anything else. Most people, if their spouses, say for instance me, my wife, most people, if they were to marry my wife, or marry me, like say my wife for instance, and want to be, and one of my things was I wanted to get rid of electricity. She divorced me in a hot, gosh darn, red second. Why? Because that's not part of what makes them tick. They can't see a world where they could be happy and without electricity at the same time. They see it just as being, I would be tortured all the time. I'd just constantly be saying, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. That was actually one of the big things about the movie 1984. No, not 1984. And it's not a movie. Golly. The book, A Brave New World. I'm sure they've done a movie on it at some point. At least something kind of based on it. You know. It's these people who are just married to what they've done to the point to where they can't break away from it. You know, and people always put into this thing of, you know, if people just had this knowledge, they wouldn't behave like this. The environmentalists think that. It's a really naive way to think. It's silly because it can't possibly be true. The simple thing that, you know, people don't want to give up that stuff. People want to have these things. It makes them happy. And it's because this is just the way it is. Well, my time's up. I'm where I need to be. I'm going to go ahead and take care of some work, and we'll talk again another time. My name is Jay Nemro. This is Quasi-Indefatigable Zentalist. You know, my encouragement to you is don't marry yourself to the institution, because someday the institution's going to ask for something that's evil that you don't want to do, but you're going to do it because it makes you. My whole hope in life for you is that you'll be able to be independent. That when the moment comes there's a great opportunity that you want to go after, that you'll go after it without having to say, but I can't walk away from this. My soul is sold to this culture. My soul isn't sold to this stuff yet. I've walked away from many things so many times. I wish I could walk away from all of it. Anyway, my name is Jay Nemro. This is Quasi-Indefatigable Zentalist. If you want to know more, if you want to get more information or get more of these little websites, go to quix.us. Have a great day. Be strong. Be stronger than the institutions that bind you.